You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
It was fun. It's done. And there you go. Foles was the MVP. Brady threw for 505 yards. Damn. And they lit up the scoreboard back and forth. Tom Brady says he'll be back. Rob Gronkowski, a caveman-like human being, he must have about five plates in his head already after the blows he has taken. This story here says that he isn't sure about coming back or not. This is how this is written. I don't know who it is that they hire to write these news stories. Gronkowski said he's going to sit down in the next few weeks and see where he's at. You mean see where he is? See where he's at. Where he's at will be sitting down. He's had 2 years. He has 2 years left on his contract, but his concussion a few weeks back kind of freaked him out, and so he'll come back. This is all he can do. Either that or play Frankenstein in the movies. But he'll be back probably. So the Gronk, we'll find out about that. Las Vegas oddsmakers have the Patriots, the favorites, to win next year again. 9-2 favorites. The Eagles next at 6-1. Ridiculous to do that so early, especially with a team that is aging and there's some unhappiness within that outfit. But who knows? They'll figure it out. This story was just, I don't know if they covered it at all last night. They likely did, but it was such a downer that nobody wanted to spend too much time on it. Indianapolis Colts player Edwin Jackson was out in Indy Saturday night, and he was out late at the bars, obviously, and he had the brains to call an Uber. So the Uber comes to get this guy, and they are on the road going to his house. Well, he had too many cocktails, and he got sick. So he asked the driver to pull over on the side of the road, and he did. And a pickup truck that was being driven by a drunk guy hit them and killed them both. Hmm. You just never know when your last second on Earth is going to be. Awful. Edwin Jackson, 26, I believe, and the Uber driver had just, you know, stopped to let him puke. And then somebody on I-70, how do you not see them? And the guy was drunk. He tried to flee on foot. But he was captured and is likely going to stand trial for manslaughter for two people. It's just awful. So that was sad. The Tigers played over the weekend, East Carolina. They lost in overtime. Much negativity about Tubby Smith and his approach to this basketball team. It doesn't let up. Partly in the paper today. Discussions of he doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't know what this team is about, and blah, blah, blah. The Grizzlies lost last night to somebody. The Timberwolves, I guess. I've stopped paying any mind to that very much. So it's not really a fun time for basketball in this city, but it'll pass. It always goes in cycles. Last night, Boston won, Milwaukee, Atlanta. The Raptors, as mentioned, the Lakers and Charlotte all win. NHL winners, Vegas, Montreal, and San Jose. The 10 best and worst cities for football fanatics came out yesterday, just in time for the big game, per Wallet Hub. They checked 24 metrics across 240 different areas in this country to see which cities had the best football fans. Now, why would you go to cities outside the NFL? I guess colleges played a factor in this. The number of NFL and college championships that a city has under its belt, the cost of game tickets, and capacity at the stadiums and all that stuff had an impact on this. Green Bay, number one city in America for football. That's all they have to do in right. Green Bay. It's a very, very small town, very quaint Middle America, and it is cold as hell half the year. And I guess they eat cheese and drink beer. That's all they do, and just live for the Packers. And so good for them. Lambeau Field, man, what a great place. You know, one day I want to go there, but it's hard to get tickets for that. There's a long list to get tickets for those games. So Green Bay, number one. Pittsburgh, number two. Best town for fans of football. Number three is Dallas. You got the Cowboys. You got SMU. You've got, well, that whole state is full of teams. Texas in Austin. Texas Tech, TCU, is in Fort Worth. So lots of football there. Number four is Boston, I guess, for the Patriots. New York, number five. They have the Jets and the Giants. Boy, one of the great ads last night was for the NFL with Eli Manning and his teammates and Odell Beckham Jr. recreating that scene from Dirty Dancing. It was hysterical. It was very, very funny. That was cute. Number six is Los Angeles, which is odd because they haven't had a team until the past 2 years. Now the Rams are back. Raiders are leaving. So how they show up, I have no idea. In Arizona, Glendale, number seven. Really? Because of the Cardinals? Number eight, Philadelphia. Number nine, Oakland. They're going to be mighty peeved when their team moves to Las Vegas. Worst cities for football fans, Jackson, Mississippi.
Why is that on there?
I don't know. There's no NFL team in Jackson. Is there a college team? You got Starkville. You got Oxford. I don't know about that.
Well, if there's nothing there, that makes it a pretty bad place for football.
Syracuse, New York. Davidson, North Carolina. Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So I guess there's no NFL team there in Pine Bluff, but there should be. And this goes down to, it doesn't matter. But Green Bay, the best. Jackson, Mississippi, the worst.
I went to the source. There were 243 cities on the list, and Memphis came in at number 149.
Well, we don't have an NFL team.
Right.
We had a USFL team and an XFL team. But this city is, the U of M football program has jumped leaps and bounds the past decade, but still, it is surrounded by the SEC. Always has been, always will be. Tennessee, Arkansas, Ole Miss. That's not going to ever change. But the program here gets more respect all the time, as it should. So good luck to them when they start playing again. So that's enough. I'm about sported out until baseball starts playing in April. Email, mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Well, lots of comments about the Super Bowl and the game. See, Michael said, incredible national anthem, 16 Medal of Honor recipients being recognized in the opening coin toss.
That was nice.
David says, I spent a week in Philadelphia about 17 years ago, one of the coolest cities I've ever visited. Watching New England get whooped just made me happy. Let's see, Deborah said, Pink sang well with the flu. Justin was on fire. Robbie said, only watched the halftime show, then turned it back for the end of This Is Us.
Well.
And Deed didn't like JT, said it was the worst halftime show ever.
I thought it was really kind of weak, and I was pulling for him to be really good. But it was just, I don't know. There was nothing. It was overdone, over the top, choreography in lieu of good music. I just don't get it.
And this one from Paul, he's someone who didn't watch it either. He said that the mediocrity of most of the games this year and the politicalization of the NFL sullied my opinion of the game. So I took my girlfriend to dinner and got home and watched a rebroadcast of the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens hockey game.
Man, way to be a rebel. You go, Paul.
And says, the following is a comment about American football from a friend of mine in the United Kingdom. I thought his observation about clock management was humorous, which he spells with a U. I never understood playing that game, says the quote. It's like rugby with crash helmets. Then they say there's 5 minutes left in the game, and 20 minutes later, they're still playing, close quote.
Yeah, it does go on and on and on, doesn't it? Yeah.
And Mike sent us a link to Elton John's Philadelphia Freedom song, so thanks for
that. I will never play that song as long as I live, but thank you for the effort. God, I hate that song.
See, a lot of people also listened to the John Scott interview on Friday about Tom Petty.
Yeah, that's great.
Barry says, love the interview with that. And Robert said, best interview ever. Mary said, glad you had him on. His stories have helped me heal so much after a friend of mine passing. Thanks for being a Petty fan. And so it says, listening to Tom Petty's music since the 70s, I enjoyed you and John recalling your friendship with Tom during a great era of American music and radio. I felt like I was listening to two old friends reminiscing over a beer. Truly great stuff. I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for your comments and for understanding. Yeah, that, as I said before, that was talking to John, who I've known for a long, long time. And we spent a great deal of time with Mr. Petty, John especially, who kind of saved their career back in 1976. But it was like talking to, you know, to an old friend over a beer. But, TP was one of the special ones. Everyone knows that. And the music lives on. John's book is out, Tom Petty and Me. We have a link to it on our Facebook page, to the Facebook page for it. You can pre-order it now. But John's going to reminisce about, there are just so many stories that he had, that we had, about things with Tom and the band that you really can't go into on the air forever, or we'd be here for, 10, 12 hours. But yes, thank you for noticing. I appreciate that.
And we addressed Stan Lee getting into the hospital sometime last week. Scotty wrote in to say he updated the world via Skype interview that he is doing fine, so glad he's doing well. And
cool.
I thought you guys would want to know. Hope everyone had a great weekend.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your tuning in and running to us. We thank you for that. Thank you, Trace, our longtime friend who sent me some magic potions.
Oh, really?
Yes. Trace, I think, is some kind of a good witch. And she makes little potions. No, she ordered these things. One of them was an oil for coughing. She wrote me a very nice note that explains what they're for. And the other was a disinfectant to spray on maybe other people. I didn't read that part. I need to go back to that one.
Yes, but please read those instructions.
It was called Thieves, and the origin of it was something from the French that they used to spray it on. I'm not sure, but thank you, Therese, for being considerate. But one of these things was you put it on your neck and you don't cough anymore, and that was pretty cool. So I may drink that tonight and see what happens. But the other stuff, I gotta kind of re-examine this note to make sure what it said. But very nice touch, thank you, ma'am. Valentine's Day is 9 days away, boys, men, whatever you are. And if you want to take care of this and knock it out, Sherry's Berries, you've heard it before. It's the truth, and they're back again. These things are beautiful. These giant strawberries are golf ball size, dipped in chocolate, and they are yummy. Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers have teamed up to help you really impress yo Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. What it is a one-of-a-kind gift. You can team up the berries and flowers. They arrive together. Right now, save 20% on any of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with my promo code DRAKE. So it is the berries in a nice box, the pretty flowers, and it's a nice deal. And it's affordable, and it comes on the day that you choose. If you don't like it, your money comes back, but I'm pretty sure that you'll like it. The berries are great. The flowers are lovely, so knock yourself out. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. It's the 14th this year, right?
Yep.
Only one way to get them. 20% off of the perfectly paired gift. Anything over $29 at the website. Berries, berries.com. Enter Drake at checkout. Today and all this week, I'm going to give you some of these. Is it just berries or flowers too? Oh, it's a gift card for $50. That ain't bad. What I'll do is, to make this not too easy, not too hard, I'm going to play a Beatles song with the word love in it. They have a couple with love in it. So I'll do that all this week. And when you hear the Beatles song with love in it, Ninth Call, wins the gift card to buy Sherry's Berries and Flowers. We'll save you some money. How about that? Beatles song that says love in the title. and we'll give you the berries and flowers and $50 to play with from Sherry's Berries. 8 o'clock, we'll bring our friend Fred Hyatt from Red Door. They are finance people, and with the activities of the past couple of days or last week in the stock market, some folks are getting jumpy. We'll ask Fred if there's any reason to get jumpy and what causes these ticks up and down, and shall we panic or just be cool? All that coming up. We'll do a break, and dumbasses of the day appear next.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Let's get a grip here. It's Monday. The sun is out. It is chilly. Be not fooled. The temperatures dropped last night to about 20 degrees quickly. And this morning it is a bit brisk. Today's high is not very much. I don't know, 42 or 3. I didn't even really check. But it's cold. Rain coming in tomorrow evening into Wednesday. And then it goes back and forth. I think I saw rain again for next weekend and cooling off. So it comes, it goes. What are you going to do? It'll change at some point. It'll be spring, and we are all counting the days because we're good, because you're stuck in the house and hard to get out. But it's fun to be, you know, kind of cozied up sometime with the wife and the animals. But if you have kids, you win some, you lose some. Dumbasses of the day coming up this morning. Our friend Fred Hyatt from Red Door. They advise folks on their finances. And we're going to see, get his take on where we are today since things have been a little bit sketchy from last week into this morning with the stock market, and people are concerned. So we'll get his take on it. And we have the Sherry's Berries gift card, $50 for flowers and such for your Valentine. When you hear a Beatles song with the word love in the title, you may call and win. Call 9. All right, dummies. Laurel County, Kentucky. Fine, fine people. Police there called to the local Walmart. That's where everything goes down. Rachel Doan, her name, she was flipping out, attacking a Walmart employee, attacking them with Mountain Dew. That's how we roll in Kentucky. Officers were in the store looking into a different complaint when an employee told them that Miss Doan was shoplifting. Oh, bad timing, hun. They approached her. She attacked a Walmart employee with a Mountain Dew bottle as she was being taken to a security room. Miss Doan then ran out of the store before police chased and arrested her. She was stealing stuff, and they got it back, and no word on the future of her Mountain Dew bottle. But that's how we roll in Kentucky, attacking somebody with Mountain Dew. She was all geezed up on Mountain Dew and just lost it. So what are you going to do?
Mountain Dew will kill you in the long run. That's right. Usually the way
it's,
it goes.
It's really good for you, though, so drink up.
Harry Yeletsko is representing himself in a Pennsylvania court on a harassment charge. He was found guilty, 71-year-old Harry was, and he proved himself, it says, an especially inept defense attorney, because after the judge pronounced him guilty, he just sort of shook his head and said, well, I'm just going to have to go get my .44 Magnum.
He told that to a judge?
He told that to the judge who just pronounced him guilty of harassment.
Good call.
He was promptly arrested on charges of terroristic threats, harassment, and disorderly conduct. He is still in the jail being held on a $250,000 bail.
I like his style, though. Just go right for the kill, you dumbass. Let's see. This is great. And whoever thought this was a good idea really made a... Well, this was a teacher. This is somebody teaching our children. Not mine or yours, but because it's in Missouri. KMOV claims a Missouri teacher is under fire for including a question about drugs on his math test. This does not say what age these kids were. Doesn't really matter. The question read on the math test, if you take 600 milligrams of cocaine and your body filters out 40% per hour, how high are you in 3 hours?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Well, it depends on how much you've taken, I guess.
I think he had taken some before he wrote this question. You don't ask that of children. 600 milligrams, how much is that? Well, in your body, really unbelievable. The school and teacher later apologized after parents and students complained. Yeah, that one's that's kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
So he wasn't fired, but okay. This idiot is pretty entertaining. I love when people go out and they change their name to something. I don't know that they. I'm sure they end up regretting it. This is from the Smoking Gun website. It claims that in Baxter County, Arkansas. Hello, Arkansas. Good morning. They recently got this boy. He was arrested, and they checked his license, and his name was Shelby Mustang GT 500 Miller.
Wow.
Nice.
Only in Arkansas. No, this could be Kentucky, too, or Mississippi, or Tennessee. Shelby Mustang GT 500 Miller. My man. He had no license. That's a shock. He's 29 years old. He also wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He had no insurance. And he wasn't drunk, though. He's just stupid. He was drunk, though, in 2014 when he was cited for public drunk. So he at least knows not to drink and drive. Having a license, a seatbelt, and insurance might have helped his cause. But he had nary of any of them. And this is, I don't know. There's just so many of this stuff. So much of this stuff. Bradenton, Florida. Got to get one from Florida in. Byron Haynes received injuries from his boyfriend, Yakeem Moore. And you know, when the boys get to fighting, things get a little bit funky. You learn that from watching RuPaul. I've learned many things from watching RuPaul. But you get two of these boyfriends mad at each other and things get ugly. A verbal tiff between the two, guys grew violent. When Haynes, who was angry, went into their bedroom and began to play the Sting song, If You Love Someone, Set Them Free. Hint, hint.
Uh-huh.
That prompted his boyfriend to begin breaking things in the home and flipping out and going to beat up his boyfriend. So he called the 911, and one of them pushed the guy's head into the wall and was really losing it. There was biting going on. You know how these girls get. They were fighting and biting, and the police showed up, and they talked him down. And Mr. Haynes said he was just trying to tell his boyfriend that he loved him, but things got out of control. The one that went nuts the first time was arrested for domestic battery. So, I don't know. Just try to get along. But playing that song was probably not a good idea because it set off the boyfriend, and we don't need to do all of that. Oh, yes, here's one more. There's just so many today because it's Monday. Where's this from? Is it Florida? No, Indiana. Guy named Mark May got a traffic ticket, and he's making a federal case out of it, it says. He has filed a federal lawsuit against Indiana State Trooper Matt Ames after he was ticketed because he gave the officer the finger. Now, is that an offense or is it just stupid and in poor taste and shows a great lack of respect for the officer? Or was it prompted? I don't know. We weren't there. The officer, Mr. May, the offender, says that the police officer, Mr. Ames, cut him off during a police pursuit. Well, that happens. You should get out of the way, dickhead, for one thing. When he passed Officer Ames, and he had pulled over somebody he was chasing, Mr. May gave him the finger out the window. Good call. So after the officer gave the ticket, he went in pursuit of May and gave him a ticket for provocation. That means being stupid. But the guy that gave the finger claims that his right to flip off the trooper is guaranteed by the First Amendment.
Huh.
I wonder how that will play out in a court of law. Will the law supersede the idiocy of the gesture?
Well, there's lots of stupid things that are completely legal. So
if we arrested everybody who was stupid, If the jails are crowded now, can you just imagine if every dumbass was locked up? There wouldn't be any room for anybody else anywhere. And here was this is kind of cute. This isn't really a dumbass. It's a bunch of smart kids. KGTV in San Diego claims a 10-year-old Girl Scout recently set up her Girl Scout cookie stand outside of a San Diego marijuana dispensary.
That's great.
She's thinking all the way. This little girl sold 300 boxes of cookies in 6 hours. The Girl Scouts of San Diego say the scout was out there. She had them in her wagon, and she was not on the property of the dispensary. And she made a bunch of money because people that take pot, I've been told, get something called the munchies. And these cookies, I bet, go down real easy.
Yeah, I bet they do.
So, way you go, hon.
Especially when you... Yeah.
Well, she ain't stupid. We'll say that. We're going to chat about the world of finance, which affects some folks, and some folks don't care. Everybody involved, though, has a hard time kind of grasping all of the issues involved. Last week, some big drops, which got the attention of a number of people. We have a change at the Fed as of today. That may or may not be any part of this. There are stories about it everywhere, and everybody has an opinion. Some say it's no big deal. It's only a correction. But the markets have broken records month after month the past year. Unemployment at a real low. The housing market is flourishing. So what's the deal? We'll ask our friend Fred Hyatt from Red Door. That is his business. And he can tell us in layman's terms what the heck this means. All that's coming up. If you're in the market to buy a house, Josh Hysaw, or to sell one, this is what he does. Some folks are trying to move their house because their value is way up right now, and you can make some money if you plan to move or to downsize. Josh Hysaw is the guy that we know and watch him work and have for several years. From Keller Williams, he knows what he's doing, and he has a system for doing this that is quite effective. He's experienced, low-key guy, no high pressure. He has a plan. There's a model for this, and his seems to work very effectively. You meet up, you talk about it, you get the most money possible for your house, and they get on it. If it isn't sold in 45 days, he will either make the payments or buy the house. You pick. I don't know how you can possibly argue with that theory. The fees are flexible, and you can discuss this with him and get the results. Many people have. I have lists here of names of those who have gotten the house staged and offers have come in, and they sell it quickly, and that's what he does. Josh Hysaw is the man's name, 461-8147, 461-8147 on the internet. Further information at joshsellsthemidsouth.com. Thank you, Josh, as always, and if you want to get your house sold, this is the guy to do it. Back in a moment.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.